Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. We run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have TalkCast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talk Show website at www.talkshow.com. Search your call ID 17702 or SFU on call or Starfleet Universe on call. You'll find either any of those in the search field will find us. And of course, we also co-broadcast over on the twitch.tv. So to find us over there, just go to twitch.tv/SFU on call. And you, if you want to, you can join us and join that wonderful chat room that has all these wonderful people in it. And I think that that's the best place to chat these days. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, my account there is sfuoncall. It's sfuoncall. Also, I have a personal account where you can follow my personal doings and comings and all that kind of thing. That's PAULFRANZ. That's Paul Franz. So if you want to follow me, just a warning that, you know, I'm proud of being Catholic and O's fan, and I love all kinds of tech. So if any of those things bother you, don't follow me. And of course, I have my Franz Games account, which if you want to, you can follow that for things that are happening on Starfleet Warlord and SFB Online. That's Franz Games, FRANZGMES. And of course, you can, this lovely talk cast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and very other feeds around the net. This quick thing from A to B, not much happening there. They actually had an extended Cyber Monday sale, which kind of is a little late now because they extended it out to December 1st and today's December 2nd. So it's like, that was a little late, but whatever. There was no way we were going to catch this, the Cyber Monday sales anyway. and then everything has been quiet about miniatures and so forth. I'm sure that they'll have some miniatures out either later this week or possibly next month. I'm not sure. I know Steve's been busy taking care of his wife, Leanna. And, you know, obviously family comes before business. And I think that's very important, especially because family is always there with you. Your family, a business can live and die, but you'll still be around. Moving on to the SFB Online tournaments, when it comes to the Sapphire Star Tournament number 9, round 1 is completed, including my game. I completed my round, and I won, yes. I actually beat somebody in the Indian Andromeda versus King Eagle. It's actually quite an interesting game. Oh, yeah. I made some mistakes, and he made a big mistake, and I think definitely Jason is not used to flying ships with plasma torpedoes. That's my honest opinion. On round 2, we were supposed to play my round 2 game on Wednesday, and something happened, and Andrew wasn't able to make it. I'm not sure whether he forgot or what. But, you know, we're going to be trying to get together on Saturday. I need to reply to him because he did reply to me because I sent an email yesterday. But when it comes to round 2, I'm the last round 2 game, but I'm not sure how that happened. Probably because I was not slacking. But it took us 2 weeks to complete our game. But, you know, so I think that's part of it. Now other people were able to jump on the first round 1 game and then jump on the round 2 game because I think they just have more time than I when it comes to things after work activities, which I'm not sure what that quite that means these days. But anyway, I did do a couple things this past weekend. I got this work on what I call the new game server. That is, this current, our current game server is based on IRC. Now, it's kind of a hacked version of a game server, IRC, and all that kind of thing. So, I was thinking about doing another one from scratch that was based on what we wanted to do. And hopefully this one will work better. You know, fortunately, I modified the client a while back to be a lot more flexible about what is on the back end of this thing, you know, that what it communicates with. So it shouldn't matter nearly as much as it previously would have done in the past when the SAP Online client actually was more of a peer-to-peer client, and the IRC server just act as a router between the clients, which is good and bad. Bad part was whenever someone joined a new game, you know, a game, and wanted to just watch the game, that person, all the players had to send all of their ships from their computer. So obviously the players' bandwidth could be quite congested. Every single time a observer would enter the room, it would ask for all the game pieces, and it would just have this flooding that occurred every single time. Now, and then I worked on that and have it so then it was more server based, so that the person who asked for all the information could then get it downloaded right from the server to him only, so it wouldn't blast the whole channel. And now I'm moving towards more of an HTTP based client, so that it will be a lot more flexible. I say more accessible in my notes, but it's more, makes the antivirus on some Windows boxes happier about the online client to a certain degree, because I know some of them have not really liked me using IRC at all. So they'll block it because, that's what's used for hackers and all that kind of thing. Yeah, they've used that in the past. I'm not sure if they still do it these days, you know, because it's a very simple protocol. That's why they were using it in the past. Also, one thing I did do was worked on the client. I updated the PA panel report. You know, unless you play Andromeda, you never see this, which is when you do a panel management and you change how much degradation each has and how much energy is in the panels and so forth, and then you click OK, and then it sends a report. Here's the before picture, here's the after picture. I changed it so that report is a lot easier to understand. At least I think it's easier to understand. It was before, it was kind of convoluted, and overall it was, I realized it was hard to understand. So I think it's much better. I hope people enjoy that. When it comes to the SAP Online website, actually I worked on a Netkill standings page. I've not revealed it to the general public overall. If you want to, you can find the link. It's like there is a link in the discussion board, so you can find it there. It's under the Hey Pal section. So if you want to find it and look at it, feel free. As I mentioned to Joshua when he, you know, talked to me about the Netkill standings, I need to work on making sure that standings page is correct. And I need to talk a little more to Robert Schirmer, because I actually have been talking to him a bit to clarify things, especially about rankings and things like that. So, when it comes to the FedCom library, no progress there. There have been some corrections actually for the SAP Online library, which is good to see. Thank you, Frank and Matt. And with that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one of the old pal friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, just Barry and maybe some people in the chat room on the Twitch stream because of I starting late. And I apologize for starting as late as I am. So hopefully people were willing to wait for me and not just give up and go, he's not going to have a podcast tonight. Well, got one. Hey, Chris. And of course, we have Barry. How you doing, Barry?
Hello there. Hey.
Hey. Yep. I want to talk about the second generation extra rules, that the updates you did, but I forgot to look at them before the podcast. So. Yeah.
That's okay.
As I said, I ran out of time, you know, as we chatted earlier.
Yeah, that's okay, because I'm kind of sleepy, so I'm probably not going to hang around too long.
Okay.
So the fact that you said that was good, because I may not have that much time. Another early morning wake up.
Ah, how early?
Not that early, only 5:30.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, I'll still beat you
up. For me, that's late.
Is that 5:30 Eastern time?
What's that?
Is that 5:30 Eastern time, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in Georgia.
Okay. Ah, there it is. Boom. Okay. So bring something.
Next week is also going to be an early Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Any chance of you changing these podcast to stay even a half hour earlier?
There's a possibility of that. I will have to contemplate it. But that is possible. I definitely won't change the date. I could possibly change it to start at half an hour earlier, though, of course. All y'all and Twitch would have to know about that. And I definitely, it's one of the things that I would, if I do it, I'd probably start in the new year. I think it would be probably the best time to switch any times.
Yeah.
Give people enough heads up and so forth.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. So, but I'll think about it, and next week I'll tell everyone whether I decide that I can change it to be half an hour earlier. Because actually, at one point, I actually did start it at 9 o'clock. But when I started at 9 o'clock, that's when I also would record the news portion live and in person. I get started at 9 o'clock. I actually would start recording it at like a quarter after, you know, 20 after. You know, the idea was that I could go from there and go right into the live portion, or just do a slight little minor slice and dice. No, Chris, actually, I'm going to be talking about, that's what we're going to do instead. We're going to be talking about part two of my game that I finished up this past weekend. No.
We talked a few days ago about that.
It was, not this past weekend, the week before this past weekend, because I contacted Andrew about playing on Wednesday, last Tuesday, and we said, okay, we'll do Wednesday, 7 o'clock, you know, basically December 1st, and he did not show. I'm not sure what happened. I don't remember if he actually sent me an explanation of why he didn't show. I think he just told me, he's like, oh, okay, can we reschedule for Saturday, and we'll play Saturday. We'll check to see what time it is. I'll definitely will post it, Chris, for you and Iggy and anyone else who wants to watch the game being played. Close game. Mm-hmm. Cowboys versus Saints. So I will start there. Don't mind me if I link to this. Playback. I'm going to crank it. Okay. I'm not sure how much this I'm going to, the video I'm going to share with people. Because unlike some people who've been played and really, they're almost considered professional tournament players. To this degree, in that while they're playing the game, they record notes. I don't. I don't at all. If I want to review the game, I have to go back to the, in this case, the tape, because I actually record video. Mm-hmm. The other one is I actually have to look at the log file that's generated for the game, because each game actually records a log of the whole game. It can, anyway.
Right.
And so I'll look at the log file, and I can then review that and go through it. Actually, I was, it was the week before last week, because last week I didn't have a podcast. And that is that I was recording, I was writing down notes. I was going through the log file and trying to write a quick summary for people. And boy, talk about taking a lot of time. It was taking a heck of a lot of time to record those notes. I think I only got to like turn 3, and we had gotten to like turn 5, you know. So it was just, it was going to take me quite a few hours of writing up notes to and so forth. So tonight what I'm going to do is I'm going to, I don't know how long this game is. This part, because there's two parts, the two-part recording. Because it took 2 days, so two parts, duh. So, but I'm going to be playing, I'm not sure how much I'm going to be, yeah, this is where it's turn 6. Let me just look at this for a moment. Yeah. Turn 6, I was actually, what was I doing? Don't mind me. Oh, okay. Ba-bum-bum-bum. Actually, let me do this. Back up for a moment, guys. And there. Let me just bring up the game for those individuals who were not there. Well, it looks like Chris and Iggy. Whoops. What happened? I'm not sure. Did I just turn it off? Ah, crap. I just turned it off, didn't I? Okay, hold on.
Hey, I'm falling asleep here. I think I'm going to fall in, right? Sorry to bail on you so quick.
No problem. You have a good night.
Yep. Good night.
Good night. Okay. Hi. I apologize for that. I pressed the wrong buttons. So I cut off the stream in the middle of it, and I completely apologize for that. Let's press the button I meant to press so people can see this. This is at the beginning of turn, end of turn 5, beginning of turn 6. This is, I gotta think about this. Oh, okay. I have to remember. Oh, okay. Now I remember. Now I remember this one. Okay. Turn 5, if I recall correctly, basically turn 5, I had come in. I don't see them. That's weird. I'm pretty sure that is, I feel pretty confident about saying this, which is turn 5, I came around, he basically, launched a wild wheel going this way, speed 4. I went around. I was trying to get to a down shield. Never got around to a down shield because shield number 1 here and shield number 4 are basically one box shields at this moment in time. So that's when I realized, I'm being a complete and utter moron when it comes to this. Because basically, I basically had him cornered. That's why I figured that he was probably going to, be honest, I kind of felt like he was going to tack. And that's exactly what he did. Actually, is this the one? Actually, no, I think this might have been leading up to it. I think turn five, turn six is where I mean, I have to run into this a little bit faster just because of. This is where I had my one leak point. It's just I decided to stick with the speed. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I decided to stay there. Yeah. Which was a 28, 21, 28 speed plot. And. Da-da-da-da. 30. So, actually, I think this is the one where I actually came around. Yeah, this was after I okay. Just stop just for a moment. Which is turn five is when I got hit by his plasma R. Which was down here. And then I came up and around, and he was still coming towards me. And this is when it's like I figured that at this point, he's going to stop. And that's exactly what he did. On turn six, energy allocations, and then. Continue on, okay. I announced mine. I'm 28. He's not. He's speed zero, and yeah, him the call. And this is where I did something. What I think was I realize now that it was, to most part, it was dumb. Though, I think it turned out very, very well. It would have turned out a little different if I would have. See, I'm coming in here, and what I'm hoping to do at this moment in time is I know what he's planning on doing here, which is I don't think he does anything with this at the moment, but what. No, he launched a plasma torpedo at me. And this is when, okay, yeah, he did this. And right about, right, I think I, do I? Right, this is when I'm basically what I'm doing is I'm looking at my right here. I'm looking at my amount of energy in my PA panels, which is not that much at this moment in time because when I come around here on turn four, and I think turn four or no, turn five, I actually was able to dump my panels. Yeah, I'll fire a couple of phasers. I think it's the right side phasers. Yep, at the plasma R, which is right off my shield number two. And at the same point, what he does is he launches the Wild Weasel because at this point, now he's got a plus two shift. His plasma is self-seeking, so it can still go flying towards me. And unfortunately, the way he's got it set up, he's right off my shield number two. But if I go straight in on him, if I go straight down, that means the plasma is going to hit my rear panels versus my front panels. I forget. Yeah, this is where I'm thinking about what do I want to do? And I decide to sideslip out. And I forget, yeah, he sideslips in, and I think this is when I actually fire my weapons, because I changed my mind about announcing the fire of weapons because of he launched the Wild Weasel, the previous impulse. Just let you know, I got this, again, I got this going four speed. Da-da-da. Just want to see if, let's boost up here, skip. Right, this one I found out that he launched a fake torpedo at me, this was the last fake torpedo at me. So at this point, he's actually got a few torpedoes left still. This is when I do a lot of my. The reason why I'm doing slowing down here, well, actually, this was the speed plot. But what I was thinking about was, do I think I can get around to his down shield? And I think I can time it so that we can use up his one impulse tack and have so I can get it there before he can do the second warp tack, and that never worked out. So I just kept on going around. I go here, and then he does an impulse tack. So I just keep on going around. I don't fire because of he's got the +2 to shift on me. So it's like, okay, I'm not gonna do this. So I keep on just going around. At this moment, this is still a Wild Weasel. This is impulse 22 of turn 6 for those just listening in. So right now I'm almost completely in the corner. Don't mind me. For those watching the video, you just watch me put down my cat. So he does another warp tack. So he's doing his best to keep that down shield away from me. And I let him basically go around tacking, not firing a single weapon at this Wild Weasel. Because as long, I figured this way, he's not going to fire at me while his Wild Weasel is still active. Because he has to fire, he has to activate his fire control and then wait four impulses for his fire control to come up and then he can fire. Otherwise, he can fire without the active fire control, but your distances are doubled. And for those watching, you can see that I've gotten up here and I've kind of at this point I realized that I'm not gonna make it. So what I plan on doing on turn 7 is actually come around again. So round and round we go. If I fire, heck of he knows. I'm not sure what Georgie had a question I did not actually ask him. And if you notice here, I used the Dizzy Div on turn 2. I still on turn 6. I've yet to use the Dizzy Div again. I've fully charged it as of the end of turn 4. Turn 5, I never used it. Turn 6, I never used. Of course, I've not fired my TR beams either. and he repairs one box on his shield number 4. This is where I do my panel management to get rid of the energy from my rear panels. I'm able to remove 10% from the panels and then dissipate one per box. So this is the ugly things at the moment. I split it because currently, okay, the thing I changed when it comes to the panel reporting is that instead of having it so it reports the front, it goes front panels before after, rear panels front and after, you know, before and after, I decided that, you know, I think that's kind of dumb. It doesn't give you a full picture. It makes it much harder to actually examine what happened in the panels. So I grouped them. I said, okay, here's a before shot of the panels. Here's an after shot of the panels. So it gives people an idea of the change in status. Now, one thing that I don't think I've got yet, which is when I change the status of the panel from on to off, I don't actually show the change of status from on to off as part of that, which I probably should. But anyway, get back to this. I'm just starting my new turn. Turn 7. And I'm pretty sure I stick with the same speed plot too, which is 28, 21, 28. See, here was my issue on turn 3. Turn 3, I was really, really low on batteries. Can I go back there just a moment? Pause. Yeah. See, back here, 6.67. Now, it discharged 6.67. I recharged 4. Right. And then what happened is on turn 3, that's when I did some of the panel things to boost up my, I got 17 points of power added in to my batteries over the turn. So I was able to take that, and then if you notice the phaser capacitor, I added 6. So I was able to recharge the batteries, then use the batteries to recharge my phaser capacitors, and then again recharge my battery again. This is what an Andromedan player is doing, and he's constantly worried because at the beginning of this turn, I had like, given that I'm using 4 points of power, I think that means at the beginning of the turn, I had around 3 points. I didn't have enough for anything but bringing my panels back up to reinforced levels. At that point, gone. Yeah, because see 9, that's, yeah, 3 and 6. So one word. Forget what. Right. Okay, so I did a flat 21-28 split. And the reason why I did that 21-28 split was because I needed the turn radius is what I needed at that moment in time. So, okay, we start turn 7. He avoids the weasel by impulse 5. So I went, okay, fine. Because what he wants to do, he wants to fire. And what, Okay. What I was looking here. Oh, I was looking at wild weasels. What I was looking for was if you can actually do what he did, which is he transported a pilot into the onto this wild weasel after his fire control was up. So I needed to see that. He dropped the shield and raised it back up. Now he launched Plasma B. So it's coming right at me. So I come right in. He warp tacks. Big surprise. So I forget what I do here. Looking for me here. Right, he fires a couple phaser ones at me. That's okay, you know. Rolling a four is not bad. So he does 6 points. Apply that. Okay, that's why I saw that. Okay. And this is when I fire. Okay, yeah. Zero, that's when did the wild weasel stop, and it just keeps moving. Wild weasel keeps moving after they're voided. And I saw it down here. Down here is where it mentions that voided any action, blah 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 blah. Where is it? But basically, okay, let me just fast forward here. Because right, he side slips. This is where I was thinking about what I want to do. I used my reserve power and I added 4 points into the phasers. Back here. Right. This is when I fire at it. The 6 points damage, so it's -8. So it hits me for 12. Now I used 4 points of battery for it. It hits me with real. Yeah, it hits me. It's real. Again, hit front panels. And now he goes under weasel again. Now see, the great thing about this is that he's using up his shuttles and I'm not doing anything. You know, he only keeps this up for so long. Okay, I don't want to do. Okay, this is where I'm, okay. Okay, he does attack, then this is where, okay, right here. Range 2, I decide, okay, I'm done with this. I'm tired of this crap. I'm not going to be able to fire on him without his wild weasels, without killing the wild weasels first, and I have no reason to kill him. Why waste the firepower on killing the weasels? In my mind, it was just it would be a waste of firepower because I'd have to fire two phaser twos to kill him. And at that point, it frees him up to do whatever he wants to. So I went, no. No, I think it was best if I'll take the +2 shift Well, my TRs, especially my TRs at range 0 to 3, +2, yeah, it hurts if I roll poorly, but I roll decently well, decent. I still it won't be that bad because I still these are TR heavies, and I need the TR heavies to see. Here's the one good thing about this ship, which is because it has the TR heavies. What that means is that you can actually use your TRs for offensive. You can use your phasers for defensive, especially in this mode. And you can still do, you have a chance of doing internals. You have a chance. It's not guaranteed. It's a chance. Because in this case, especially in this case, I'm rolling against a plus two shift. That means if I'm lucky, I mean really lucky, I roll two ones. If I roll two ones, I actually can get 40 points of damage. If I don't roll two ones, I cannot. There's no way I can get 40 points of damage. There's no way I can roll. I have to roll at the very least. I have to roll a three or better. One, two, or three. I have a 50% chance of actually downing the shield. I have less than a 50% chance of downing a shield. But I have a chance. You know, I got, at the very least, I can damage the shield to a decent degree. So I take the chance. Okay, let's go with that. Then I roll a 2, and I do 27 points of damage against shield number 3. So his shield number 3 is practically down. It's down, or can be. Depends upon how much reinforcement he puts to shield number 3. But, so, because, you know, and this is rolling a 3 and a 5. So I didn't roll well. So that's a 12 and a 15. So, not awful, but not great. So that was good. You know, it's like, okay, good. That's almost a down shield. So basically it makes it as weak as the shield number 1 and number 4. So okay. At this point, it's like, okay, let's do that. He thinks, he says, okay, you know, is he going to reinforce? I don't think he does. He does not. So he has a remaining shield. And then he does an impulse attack to... No attack, okay. Yeah, because he didn't attack. He did not attack because of he realized that I'm just running away, and he's still under Weasel. So at this point, I can fire my phasers at him, but I have no reason to. Now, if he does something like avoid his Weasel, then I have a chance. You know, it's looking here because of in theory what I can do. As I can see, if I can drop my front panels, drain out the energy, put it in my back panels, but that's when I have to think about, okay, how much damage can he do to me and can he get internals? And this is when I start thinking about the plasma R. Because actually, this is turn 7. So by turn 7, he can have his plasma R all ready and rocking to go. So I was like, no. And then I, you know, since he voided his Weasel, I was able to do 6 points of damage on shield number 3. So at this point, he actually reinforced it. So he's down to shield number 2. And I've been saying shield number 3, I mean shield number 2. I apologize. But I got it down to, he's now got 3 one-box shields. 1, 2, and 4. So that makes it heck of a lot harder to avoid me getting on a very weak shield. And at that point, I go, it's time to run away. And, you know, he fires, he rolls 2 5s at range 5. Yeah, range 5. So he does 6 points. Does that on my rare panels. Okay, fine. And then I was looking at to see where it's plasma Fs. Because right now, at this point, he's got one plasma Fs and a plasma R, possibly. And I had to recharge them. Right. At the end of the turn, recharging them again. So then, later on, well, actually, so I can... Okay, so I could actually drop my front panels. And when I drop my front panels at that point, you know, it'll fill this up and then I'll have some... Yeah, I had to redo it. I did a reset because of I didn't remember it correctly. So the 5 rear, 10 to the batteries. Again, this is why you're constantly thinking about this. You know, and I see at this point, if he wanted to, if he fired at me, fine, fire at me. I'll raise my rear panels from standard to reinforced levels, and I can absorb up to 16 points of damage. Okay. We don't do anything, and then we do. We have Joshua shows up, doing all my panel stuff, which is just removing the energy from the panels. I got 16, so I can do 2 points of energy, so I can to the batteries, and then 4 to dissipate it from the rear. So I'm pretty good. I don't have anything in my front panels. I do have my degradation. I'm not saying that I don't. Okay. Let's see if I can go back just a little bit. Go back just a little bit. So, because that flew by pretty fast. Right back up. Okay, and then at the end of the turn, I charge 4 to get 2 into the bag, right? Okay. I want to back up this tiny bit there. Right there. Okay. Took me a moment there. Sorry. Which is, I've got 15 degradation on my front panels. I got 8 degradation in my rear panels. My front panels are clear. So even with 15 points of degradation, that means I can still take 45 points of damage to my front panels. Now, my rear panels, after the whole panel stuff at the end of the turn, I've got 8 degradation, I got 10 points of power. So that's a total of 18 from 40. I got 20, so I can take 22. Yes, and drums do more math. And you can see here, for those watching the video, you can see that the Clinging Eagle has down shield. He's got 2 phaser 3s in the rear. Are dead, one center hull. He's repaired that point, a left warp as an AWR. He's repaired a center hull. Not exactly sure why he repaired a center hull, to be totally honest. Probably to protect his batteries is what I'm thinking. And I can see why he would do that. And then he's got one phaser three repaired. So he's got 3 repairs done. And I haven't used a single repair. So just keep that in mind for later on in the game. Okay, now we're getting on to Impulse 8. Impulse 8 is basically me running away. That was the only thing I was doing the whole turn. So I do a, what was it? Yeah, I think it was 28, 21, 20 is what I was doing. So I was trying to save just a little bit of energy. This is kind of wacky here, which is you have two, I set it up so I have two impulses in a row, which I don't move. Where I figure it is, I can, because he's stuck, he's still range, he's speed zero. So his max speed is speed 10. So if I just get a good range, I can run away. And if I really am desperate, I still haven't used my Dizzy Dev since turn two. So I can displace away if I need to. And if you notice, for the rest of the game, I don't use a displacement device at all, which is great because then I don't have to worry about having to use my warp power for it. No, okay. Here, yeah, okay. So he starts at speed 8. I start at speed 28 on turn 8. Now all I'm doing is I'm going straight out. Is what I'm doing, and then he follows me. Big surprise. I keep on going, and then what I do is I turn up around impulse. Around mid-turn, I turn from going towards, up and to the left, and I'm going direction B. I turn to direction A, and then by the very end of the turn, I keep on doing that, and then at impulse 24, I turn to direction F. So I'm getting my butt turned around. The idea is to face him coming straight in. I want the idea here is to have it so that I am one hex off his center line. Because of I want to be one hex off it in the hope, desperate hope, but it's a hope that I might be able to get a plasma torpedo, in this case an F torpedo, to hit the rear panels, and so that basically my front panels are still good. Now, if I figured if he launches his plasma R at me, I can jump over that sucker because I got my Dizzy Dev. And even that's going to be problematic. it's a roll of dice and pray that the Dizzy Dev works. This is when I decide at the end of the turn here, this is impulse 31. I actually have turned around. I'm now facing him. And this is range 15. So I still got plenty of time to prepare for the great approach on impulse on turn 9. And turn 9 is the last turn. And I side slip. And I'm centerline right now to him. He side slip, I side slip. So if I keep up my speed, I should be able to get where I want to be, which is one hex off center line. Because I'm not worried about getting my own weapon center line, because my main weapons are TRHs. They're front half, which are I love that about the TRHs, that they're like that. As you notice, okay, second turn arming. And geez, I forgot why I put my speed plot for turn 9. Da, da, da. Oh, I did that again, didn't I? I did a 28, 21, 20. A little different though. Because that's the one thing, you don't always have to fly as fast as possible, because in some cases, like in the case where I was coming in here, I'm coming towards the center, why fly fast? When that just means you're coming closer to the corner, you're pushing the corner a lot faster than you really want to be. Okay, I'm going to speed things up a little here. overall. Okay. Starts speed 28. He starts speed 7. So we come in. I get where I want to be, which is range 10. And at range 10, I'm on one hex off his center line. And this is we're coming straight in. So center line to his second to shield number 2 side. So if we went straight, both of us, we'd be going right off our shield number 2. And then he launches his plasma, 20-point plasma, his C plasma. I double-checked on the plasma B. So the plasma B rack, torpedo tube, got used on turn 7, so I'm good for that. He's not going to use it. You can't do a fast load, so I don't have to worry about this turn for that one. So this is when I was hoping, beyond all hope, that he would mess up and not sideslip his plasmas early enough so that I would be forced to run into him, because I wanted to have it so that he basically turned, he got into my rear panels is what I'm hoping, without me turning. Which can happen if you don't do it correct. Now, this is where we're approaching. Yeah, I just double check speed 28. I think that's why I changed my speed. Yep. Yeah, I changed it to my speed plot from 28, 21, 20 to 28, 30, 20, 120. This is on impulse 8, so it goes to speed 30 all the way until impulse 16, and then it will slow down. And see, he sideslips, so we're now center line. Which case, okay, I need to knock this down some, period. So, all right, fire 2 phaser 2s at it, range 1. And he fires 2 phaser 1s at me at range 5. So he does 5 points of damage to me. And how many? Give me a sec here. 2 P2s, and I roll, so I should get 10 points of damage against the plasma. So the plasma is going to be minus 5, which means. Speed, I'm just looking at the impulse. Yeah, so he's going to hit me for 15. The plasma going to hit me for 15. So it does. And right, okay, for those not watching, the King Eagle at this moment in time, range 5, he's now turned to range 4. He turned into me. So his shield number 6 is now facing me. So now he's still going really slow. He's going speed 7. So I'll go, fine. He's going to turn into me. That's great. Because at this moment in time, we're at the very reaches of the FA arc of the King Eagle. So what do I do? What any sane person would do. I sideslip, because I just moved forward the impulse before. I sideslip to my left, sorry, to my right. So I'm now, I'll let this go. And you'll see me actually sideslip to the right here. Now it's also checking when he moves. Because what I was planning on, and I do it. You know, checking to see his speed. You know, if he does a speed 8, what happens? Because he can still do a mid-turn speed change. You know, what happens if he does a mid-turn speed change? Well, how will that mess me up? Can I still do what I want to do? So I wanted to sidestep out. The whole idea here is taking advantage of that FH arc again. I.e., get on that shield line. If I can get on the shield line, I can get on the down shield. So what I'm planning on doing is basically just sidestep here, bump, 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 pump, pump, and then get it so that I can get right off this shield line here. Or if I have, I think, okay, we continue forward. I move, I go straight ahead because I have to because I just side-slipped. Yeah, this one is like, okay, when's the next move? I side-slip up. So I'm right now I'm off of shield number 5. I pass by that, and I'm right now I'm directly off shield number 5, range 2, shield number 5. This is when things get interesting. Okay. And he's thinking. Da, 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 da. And this is, I think, his next impulse. He doesn't, I think he goes, okay. Come on. I'm not going to speed this up. Because I'm afraid I'm gonna miss what happens. Because I know what happens at this moment in time. When she does something which I never, ever, ever expected to do. In all of the flying. I am going, right? Yeah, I'm going. It takes a while to think because he's... And I said, oh, yeah, take your time, no problem. So, don't mind me. People, just have a little patience. There it is. Okay, we have a little announcement. Does he do anything? I forget if he fires or not. It's possible he fires. Da, 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 da. Because here's the one thing. He's got quite a few phaser 3s. Now, he doesn't have as many phaser 3s as he had previously. And there's one thing I totally forgot about. The two of his phaser 3s are gone at this moment. Okay, so he launches the shuttle. Oh, yeah, this is what it's it. Yeah, he launched a shuttle in my direction. Now, this is where things get... And then he fires two phaser 3s at me at range 2. Yeah, he only has 3 phaser 3s that faced me at this moment in time. He rolls a 5 and a 4, so he has a big whopping 5 points. So he does 5 more points of damage against my front panels, which are starting to get beat up here. Yeah, the update that. I forgot to record that earlier. Okay. Now, this is the impulse that things are interesting. He does a... Okay, stop. He does a second hit to direction A. So he's facing directly at me. This is his second, number 2, his second hit. So he's taking a high chance. If he breaks down, game's over. Game's absolutely and totally over. There is no other chances he's got. So it's like, okay. I say, roll it. And he says, yep, drum roll. And he rolls a 2. Yes, he is successful. He actually, the head... goes through. He actually was able to successfully hit to face me. Now, it's my turn. I turned all the way back here. So I went, I thought about this for a little bit. And I went, fine. Yeah, this is, okay, for those not watching the video, this shows me looking up plasma torpedoes, specifically what happens if someone bolts a plasma at you at range zero. Because there's one thing I did remember. I did remember from all of my readings many, many years ago. That is that at range zero, plasma, launch plasma has a 25% feedback. I remember that. So I went, okay, let's go check. Does, when you bolt, does that feedback still occur? And the answer to that question is yes. This is where we actually had a little discussion here later on. But the question is, how much damage? And I had to look it up and I actually had to reread it carefully. And what it says is that at range zero, the feedback damage from bolting is 25% of the warhead strength. Not the damage that you do to your opponent, the warhead strength. In this case, the warhead strength was 50. So approximately a quarter of 50, 25%, is around 12. And that's when we also did, I make sure, I was not going to be dumb. Because I've done this before. I had an opportunity, so I took it, which is to lab that shuttle that he launched. And I discovered, yes, it was a suicide shuttle. So the one thing I definitely did not want to do was something stupid. I did not want to overrun the shuttle. Because this is what I had, I've done this at Origins. When I was flying against a black shark, I saw two shuttles. Okay, we'll do two shuttles. I ran over the shuttles. Both shuttles were suicide shuttles. And at that point, I died. Because basically did 36 points of damage, which I was not expecting whatsoever. And so now, okay, yeah, there's, okay, no, that's a suicide shuttle. That means, fortunately, the suicide shuttle is one hex away. So this means I've got to remember to side slip with my next impulse when I move. I have to sideslip. So don't overrun the suicide shuttle. So I go, okay, let's fire four phaser twos, two TRHs at him. And he bolts a plasma R and I forget anything else. R bolt. He hits. Yeah, this is where I quoted the rule, which is 25% of the warheads. I read that, and I went, okay, wait a minute. It says explicitly warhead strength. It doesn't say damage to ship. Yeah, it's 12 points of feedback. Right, and he fired two phaser threes and two phaser ones. Phaser ones were rolled sixes. At range one, still. So we both agreed that he does a total of 42 points of damage against my ship, which obviously is overall not good. Though I was fortunate in that. Okay, stop. If you notice here, one of my batteries is gone. All of my hull is gone. Cargo is gone. He hit my PA panel. Fortunately, I had enough unused. I got open in my rear panel that my energy release going from my front panel to my rear panel. So, like, okay, fine. He destroyed my my two APRs, destroyed my two impulses, destroyed four warp and two phaser twos. But my TRHs are still there. And then comes my turn. And my turn was, I had to update that. For any reserve power, and and we reinforced that back there. Yeah, that's why. And I was explaining to him that the 5 points that were released that were in the panels then get absorbed by the rear panels, because that is the way of the rules say that it goes from the current set of panels to another set of panels. If all the panels are all full, then it goes to batteries. Then I roll two TR breaches, didn't do great. 6 and a 4, 35 points of damage. Now remember, this is a shield, one box shield. And then another 21 points of damage from my 4 phaser 2s, which at range 1 is a 5 or a 6. And then, of course, plus 56 plus the feedback being 12, and he wanted to check. And I mentioned to him, like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it is, because it explicitly says warhead strength versus damage to opponent or damage to ship or whatever. So at that point, the total, 68 points of damage is done to the ship. And to me, at this moment in time, game's over. Congratulations, you know, that's when, good game, game over. But he wants to continue on. But, okay, let's wait for this to... a little longer, because right now we're discussing the rule, and Jason had to agree that yep, it looks like 12, and yep, and as I said, the only reason I knew it was 12 is because it explicitly says it, that it's warhead strength. So, and he's saying looks like I should have launched it at range 1, sicky kind of. I'm not sure how you would have done that. Now, we're going back to the game because of when he headed, he ended up at range 1. And then I still have to move, so I'm going to range 0. So we're going right from range 2 to range 0. And if he would have waited, there's a good possibility I would have gotten on a nice down shield. Okay. And boom. And those for you who are watching, now you can see the results. He's got 12, 18 total warp, total power left. He's got 2 phaser 3s and 1 plasma F as his weapons after all said and done. Me, I got 2 TRHs. I got 4 phaser 2s. I got my Dizzy Dev still. And he still wants to continue on. Because I assumed at this point, after he saw the damage, he would realize, yeah, I'm toast because his batteries are gone, hole gone. I mean, he still has control spots. And even his scanner, 1, 2, 3, he's got a plus 3 on range because of his scanner. You know? So, I'm not exactly sure what you can do at that point. I don't think, but he wanted, I'm not a person who's going to force the issue. If he wants to concede, he can concede. Okay, and, I run away. He runs away. And that's when he agreed to good game. And that was the end of the game there. And just whatever. I can't see the back. Doesn't matter. I wanted to stop end the podcast with a view of that Hulk of a King Eagle, but doesn't look like VLC is actually cooperating at this moment in time. So, and right around here. Right, and here. Okay, and it was right around. Right, and I should be able to do this. There. That is what I want. How I wanted to end it. Yeah, Android rule. I won this game, and I was quite happy about it. So, for those of you, to me, the thing is, the King Eagle has an uphill battle to begin with against the Andromedan, just because of he didn't have much choice in my mind but to bolt. Though, as I mentioned, I'm not sure if I mentioned last time I did a review of this game, the part one. But the one thing that I know I mentioned to Barry, which was the one thing that I was terrified of on turn two, was the King Eagle was going to launch an enveloping R. Because he got me basically in the corner. Now, if you want the enveloping R, I would be running like hell. And then I'd have to pray that the Dizzy Dev, because the thing is, here's the thing. If that would have been, the big issue, of course, here is power. It would have cost him a lot more power, and he might not have been able to move nearly as far as he did. That being the case, if you would have launched an enveloping R at the end of that turn, and then I come around at turn five, remember one thing that happened in turn five for those in this sort of view? I actually ran into the plasma. I did. So I took 25. What? If it was enveloping, I would have taken 25 in the front, 25 in the rear. I would have been in a really awkward situation if that would have happened. So now, as I mentioned, the big issue there is that it was taking 5 more points of power. Now, the question is, that means possibly he wouldn't have moved as nearly as close as he did because he would have had 5 points of power. That means it was probably 5 less movement. So it would have been farther, in which case it might not have been 25-25, it might have been 15-15. But still, that's pretty darn good in my mind. But anyhow, it's pretty late. I need to wrap this thing up. I hope you guys enjoyed watching and those listening to the review of the game. Obviously, if you're listening, I would recommend going to the YouTube video. I'll be posting it. You can go either to sfuoncall.com. I'll post a link there. Also, Twitter. I'll post it as I do every single week. I post up a link to the YouTube video on that. So you can look at it. So I would recommend maybe you want to watch the video and see a little more what happened. I did my best to describe things, but, invariably, there's only so much I can do when it comes to that. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.